This podcast is certified fresh. Freshmediaworks.com.
Welcome to the Mikey Pod on the Bayou Show. Yeehaw. That's not what this show's about.
It ain't.
No. Here, watch this. Welcome to Mikey Pod on the Bayou. Texas, it's not just for cow-tipping rednecks.
Hello and welcome to Mikey Pod on the Bayou. This is your host, Michael Herron, and I would like to welcome you to episode number 41. Today is March 21st, 2005. Today's guest is David Rovics. Total badass. You'll learn more later. And I'm going to do a show later on where I just do a show. Seems like it's feast or famine around here. So last two episodes had Kathy Kelly, which I was just so excited about. And now here's David Rovics, who I'm also so excited about. But I haven't had time to get to listener email and voicemail and all that kind of stuff. By the way, you can send me your email at mikeypod@gmail.com. Did I say this already? I don't think so. At gmail.com, you can go to the website at mikeypod.com. Or also, you can call the voicemail line, which is 206-339-6682. Okay, I'm going to go right into this song by David Rovics. It's called The Halliburton Boardroom Massacre, and you heard it here on Mikey Pod on the Bayou. Okay, that was the Halliburton Boardroom Massacre by David Rovics, who is now with me on the phone. Hello, David.
Hey, Michael.
Thanks for taking time out to be on the show. You're on tour right now, right?
Yeah, fairly perpetually. I just got done with a West Coast tour with a guy from England, a punk rock poet named Attila the Stockbroker, and I'm in Arizona right now, just about to do a gig tonight in Tucson and playing a couple other gigs, Prescott and Flagstaff.
Wow, so you're getting around a lot.
I tour most of the time.
Yeah.
I take big breaks frequently in your hometown and elsewhere. But,
oh, yeah. Tell me the date again that you're going to be in Houston.
Yeah, I'll be in Houston on the 25th of this month. I'll be doing playing at a fundraiser for David Van Oss, and maybe a gig the next day, I'm not sure, and many other times in the future. The people can go to davidrovics.com and click on the gigs page to find out about my shows.
Perfect. Okay, and I'll put all that stuff up on the website, too, so they can go there from the show. In Halliburton Boardroom Massacre,
you really did a good job of sort of capturing the how that character would feel. Is there a way that you get there with that sort of thing, or did you kind of combine your own experiences with the writing of that song?
No, I've never had those experiences, thankfully, myself. But I've met a lot of folks who have recently been in Iraq and as soldiers, and have come back and joined organizations or otherwise worked with, you know, different peace groups and anti-war groups. And there's certainly a lot of anger and a lot of sentiment of, you know, I'm not saying I met somebody who's making any plans to go open fire in the Halliburton boardroom, but people are pissed off. And a lot of people have decided, you know, that there's somebody they'd rather be shooting than Iraqi civilians. And they're, you know, they're not feeling very peaceful. You know, it was funny meeting a lot of folks at the Veterans for Peace conference, because I thought, well, geez, if they had called this organization like Veterans for Blowing Up the White House, you know, people would be still coming. You know, maybe they'd be scared to come if they had a name like that. But sentiments are there. People are pissed off, and rightly so. They've just meant to go fight and die and get sick from all kinds of depleted uranium poisoning, fighting a war for oil for, you know, like Steve Earle says, you know, not just another poor boy fighting in a rich man's war. That's what they're doing there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... we had a protest here in Houston. I think they were all over the place yesterday. But I was surprised how we did it right by a VA hospital. And I was surprised how many people in camouflage driving by, like, honked and waved and gave us a thumbs up and that sort of thing. It was...
Yeah, I found the same thing just a few weeks ago when Cindy Sheehan was in town. When we were having a protest outside of Barbara Butcher's church, you know, most of the people, the vast majority, were honking in support, and every once in a while somebody would use the finger. You know, people, even in the heartland of America right there in Houston, you know, which is so often touted in the mainstream media as being this, you know, bastion of conservatism, people are fed up with the regime.
It's really true. It's nice. I was surprised. That was the first time. I've just started becoming more active, and that was my first time at a protest for the war anyway. And I was really surprised about how supportive everyone was. So, Santiago, let's talk about that. On your website, you say that you were trying to make a connection between 9/11 2001 and 9/11 1973.
Yeah, well, the connections between 9/11 and 9/11 are so there's so many connections and so many outrageous hypocrisies. You know, when people like Bush and Clinton, for that, you know, when they talk about fighting the war on terror and, you know, killing terrorists and all this stuff and overthrowing regimes and support terror and all that, well, it's just utter hypocrisy, utterly, utterly ridiculous country, more than any other in the world that supports terrorism in the world. And when we're talking largely here about state terrorism, which is far, far worse for people than the other forms of non-state terrorism. In terms of the damage it does on the planet to human beings and societies. And one very prominent example of that is the U.S. And the CIA's active support of the Pinochet dictatorship in Chile, which overthrew the democratically elected government of Salvador Allende, which is a hugely popular government elected by the vast majority of the Chilean people. And the United States did everything possible to undermine the Allende government and then ultimately used CIA and U.S. Army-trained troops, such as General Pinochet, to overthrow the government in Chile. And the overthrow of the government in Chile, which involved jet fighters bombing the presidential palace, happened on September 11, 1973, and led to the slaughter of tens of thousands of progressive Chileans.
So, to me, it seems like you really capture that, and the song is beautiful, and Americans largely don't seem to be able to connect to how other people are experiencing our actions.
We're not told of these things. I mean, when people watch the television and listen to the radio, unless they're, you know, one of the you know, growing but still a relatively small number of Americans who have discovered, you know, community radio and various internet programs and programs like Democracy Now, Flashpoints, you know, if they haven't discovered these kinds of programs and this kind of information, if they're still, like the vast majority, getting their information from, you know, corporate and so-called public broadcasters on radio or on television, they're really not getting any kind of real information about what's happening in the world. you know, very little. And, you know, so naturally they don't know about the things our government does on the planet. They only have the tip of the iceberg. And the reality is horrible. The reality is that this is an empire that's more destructive to life on Earth and to societies and around the world, people, than any in the history of the planet.
It's fortunate, too, though, that independent media is becoming so easy to access. Like, so many people who are, you know, podcasting and doing video are able to do their own sort of, I guess, guerrilla journalism in a way. And more of us are learning, because that's how I started learning about what was going on, by listening to other people's podcasts, and because it was, everything is so covered up. Well, let's go right into Santiago, and we'll listen to that now.
So I looked out my window at the clear blue sky, at the planes that flew so low, at the smoke that rose so high, the air filled up with dust that blackened out the sun. And the politicians went on about the new day that had begun. When I looked at my calendar, somehow I knew it would be so. It was on this day in Santiago. Less than 30 years had passed, and how clearly I remember what the city had been like. Before that day in September, there were doctors on the sidewalks helping those in need, students in the barrios teaching children how to read. There were milk trucks in the shanties driving to and fro. On this day in Santiago, I could tell you about the rallies, the whole city in the street. The president was speaking and we all were on our feet. Allende was the future, destitution was the past. The city was in motion and things were changing fast. Just how fast they were changing, only Kissinger could know. On this day in Santiago, Anaconda Copper and Nixon got their dream. A country torn apart, ruptured at the seam. A fascist coup was what they wanted. That's just what they'd get when they sent down from Fort Benning General Pinochet. Lady Liberty hung her head down low on this day in Santiago. They dropped bombs on La Moneda with jet planes from D.C. They killed 5,000 people in our city by the sea. A reign of terror started when they cut off Victor's hands. The rivers clogged with bodies and our blood drenched the sands. And I remember wondering which way future winds might blow. On this day in Santiago.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about how it's been for you to have your music available online for free for people to download. Am I understanding correctly that everything was for sale, like as CDs, and now that it's easier to get those MP3s up, that you're sort of doing both?
Yeah, I think the whole free download thing is a very important development in a lot of ways, and what you're doing with the podcast. I mean, you know, basically, most people are basically progressive. You know, they may be relatively uninformed, but in this country, but people are progressive and they want to do good and they want to see good things happen and they are very critical of our government, and that is the majority. And so when people get a chance to make their own media or music or other things, it tends to certainly it'll be influenced by the mainstream in all kinds of negative ways, but it will tend to have a progressive you know, tint to it. You know. And this is a development that that the corporate media, the music industry, you know, the makers of you know, the crap we're consuming all the time from Hollywood, New York, you know, they're really up in arms about it, and they have every reason to be, because it is a threat to them. And unfortunately, there's a quite a number of musicians who have bought the line and of the corporate industry and are you know, trying to tell us that, you know, if we're downloading music that we're committing a crime or we're stealing stuff. And these people are misguided. Putting the music up on the web for free, it's, you know, you could try to do the mechanical breakdown of whether you're losing sales and how much sales you're losing and how many you're gaining and all this stuff. But just, I would just encourage people, forget about it, you know. Forget about it and just realize that most musicians live by performing. If they are making a living as musicians, it's probably because they're performing. And if you put all your music up on the web for free download, all that's going to happen is you will directly, in some ways, compete with the Clear Channel, and you will get your music out there. You'll gain an audience. You know, you have to, especially since we don't have access to the mainstream radios, you know, mainstream radio stations, we have to think differently than they do and use different means to get the music out there. And free downloads is probably the best means, a single best out of many others, means to get your music out there. And I really encourage people to do it. And I put all my music up for free. I think it's just, it's pointless just to, you know, just, well, to kind of dabble in this and put a few songs up for free. Don't just, you know, or some clips, 1 minute clips, or just forget it. Just put it up there. You know, just get it out there, you know, and see what happens. And what will happen, I would say, in the vast majority of cases, is you'll just gain a bigger audience. And some of those people are going to want to support you and buy your CDs. Others, lots of others, will come to your shows. They'll pay to get in. You'll make a living, you know. Or if you're not making a living, it's not going to be because, you know, you put your music up for free. It'll be for some other reason.
Right.
It's harmful to the Coldplay and Eminem and whoever, you know. Sure, that free download thing is hurting their sales. No doubt about it. That's because they're getting so much conventional advertising anyway. You know, that people find out about it through various other conventional means, and then they download the stuff instead of buying it. With artists like me or the other 99.9% of artists out there who are not selling millions, it works completely differently. And the music industry is trying to prevent us from understanding that and misguide us. And to some degree, they're succeeding, but for others, they're failing. And hopefully, they will, you know, they will just, you know, fail altogether.
Yeah, it's really, I believe really that there's a revolution of the sorts happening as far as music is concerned, just with what I've been watching happen with podcasting. So many independent artists are now have an audience. They're able to get to more people than they were able to before, and there's a whole new, it feels like a movement that's getting bigger and bigger with independent music in that way. So that's exciting. And this is all, if I'm understanding the song The Commons correctly, this is like a part of what you're addressing in The Commons. Is that, am I on track there?
Absolutely. That this is, that music is the commons. Culture is the commons. You can't own it. And also the same goes with the air and the water and other things that are basic to human existence. These things can't be owned. There's no, you know, you can't apply ideas of intellectual property to these things. And you certainly can't apply ideas like, you know, material property. I mean, nobody has the right to own property if their owning of that property involves, you know, starving other people that don't have access to land, or preventing people from having access to water, or poisoning the earth with pesticides, or, you know, making nuclear reactors, all this, you know, that's not, you know, you don't have the right to do those things. This planet is our planet. The people, it belongs to, it's the people and other species. You know, it belongs to itself. It deserves to live in its own right, and destroying it is a crime against nature, and a crime against humanity. And you can't. No sane, moral person can hide behind property or property laws of any sort. You know, when it comes to, you know, life on Earth, and I would apply that logic to culture as well as to, you know, the material world.
Right. Yeah. As an artist, do you feel like taking that shift off of sort of sales of recordings puts the focus back for you as far as your how you feel about your work. Does it give you sort of, it seems to me that it would give you a more sort of pure feeling about just the act of making music.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, ultimately, very, very few musicians are making music because they thought, oh, this would be a great way to make lots of money. You know, most people are making music for all kinds of other reasons. And in order for it to be sort of part of the culture, in order for it to interact with other musicians and other music and live, you know, it needs to be, to get out there in various ways. And the internet has become one of the most important ways for that to happen.
Yeah. Great. Well, thanks for being here today. I know that you're super busy.
Yeah, I just thought you just caught me on a busy day, but other days I have more time to talk, so I'd love to talk more.
Okay, and maybe we can cross paths in when you're in Houston.
I hope so.
Okay, thank you again for being on the show today.
Thank you, Michael.
And good luck tonight with your gig.
Thanks.
All right.
First you told Sony, through you could we know God, and if we dared to question, then he wouldn't spare the rod. For you we worked the soil, for you we dug the moors, for you we shed our blood, fought so many pointless wars. And now you build your fences, and you say there's nothing we can do. You say the world around us belongs fairly to the few, but about 6 billion people no doubt will agree, this world is our home. Your property, it's the commons, our right of birth. And you would enclose the land all around the earth. Our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. With our sweat we built the railroads, built cities on these shores. But because you own the money, you say that it's all yours. We laid the phone lines and the pipelines, and then right before our eyes, you see these things are taxes paid for. You now will privatize the hospitals, privatize the schools, privatize the prisons for all those who break your rules. And preparing for the day when all the wells run dry, you say you own the very rain that falls down from the sky. But it's the common right of birth. And you who'd own the water all around the earth. Our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. You claim to own the harvest with your Terminator seeds. You claim to own the genome of every animal that breeds. You claim to own our culture and the music that we play. And with each song that we down, to your coffers we must pay. You'd even own my name, and yet say it's for the best. Maybe you'll let us on your radio if our songs pass your test. You own country, you own western, you say you've given us a choice. You may own the airwaves, but you'll never own my voice. It's the commons, our right of birth. And you who'd own the music all around the earth. Our future is your downfall when we cut this ball and chain. You who'd sacrifice the public good for your private gain. It's the commons, our right of birth. The public good for your private gain.
You've been listening to Mikey Pod on the Bayou with Michael Herron. Mikey wants your input to the show. Do you have a comment about something that was said on the show? A review or a promotion of a cultural event, especially in the Houston area? Or you just want to say hi? Email is MikeyPod@gmail.com. The Mikey Pod Show hotline, 206-339-6682. And record it down for all to hear. See you next time right here for Mikey Pod on the Bayou. MikeyPod.com.